You guys know where the book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament? About two-thirds away from the Old Testament. I want to preach on a new thing tonight. God makes everything new when we get saved. He gives you new life and accept Him as your Savior. You go to Isaiah 43, just a few verses. In verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The text tonight is, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Verse 19. An 18-year-old girl committed suicide and left a note behind saying, I'm in agreement with God that unless life was worth living, I would quit living. Here's a young lady who wasted a life worth living, but on her own terms. You can't come to God and tell God what to do. God does what He wants. Sadly, she found out too late that doing your own thing is not the answer. Most people today are doing what they want to do. They're doing what God told them not to do, and they're expecting different results. I saw the president today give a Congressional Medal of Honor. That's the highest award you can win as a soldier. Just Sergeant Williams, I think his name was. He got in a fight with Afghanistan insurgents. And they were going up a hill, and the insurgents were firing down at him. He went against that firing, and the bullets were flying everywhere. He got up there and was a man that was brave. He went and went against the bullets. Life is worth living for those who delight in the Lord. God promises to satisfy every desire of those who delight in the Lord. Psalm 37:4 tells us that. Amen. It says that, well, we're over there right quick. Psalm 37:4. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We want to be happy about what the Lord is doing in our life. Behold, I will do a new thing. God turns a life of despair into a life of expectancy. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. The promise of God's new thing. Remember not ye now the former things written, consider, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. There's divine need of hope. God sees that He's about to do a new thing in your life. Look at His promise. God promises to outdo the past. Remember ye not the former things written, neither consider the things of old. The former things are talking about God's mighty deliverance from Egypt. That was quite an experience for the Jews. Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, tried to mess with God's people. God gave them 10 plagues. Last plague, he put the firstborn son to death. God took care of them when they sinned. He took them to Kadesh Barnea. They had clothes they didn't wear out for 40 years. Shoes they didn't wear out for 40 years. When I was a kid, my dad used to buy us Boy Scout shoes. Boy Scout shoes, you can never wear them out. My brother would get something and try to cut the soles of them. And Dad would say, he didn't make no difference. He didn't care what he did. He says, you're going to wear them. Can you imagine having shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years? Or clothes that didn't wear out for 40 years? What would you girls do? You couldn't buy new clothes. God says the new thing I'm going to do is going to be better than the old. God promises to transform the present. God said that Israel would be delivered from the Babylonians when they were in captivity. How sad that the chosen people of God would have backslidden to the point of being judged by God by being taken captive by Babylon in the first place. Anybody know the king that captured them? Nebuchadnezzar. He was the greatest man in the world at that time. He never intends for his people to be held captive by anyone or anything. It's sad when Christians can't have... I know people that are captured by bitterness. I myself was captured by bitterness until a preacher stuck his finger in my face and said, you're filled with a demon of bitterness. He says, I want you to get out of here and I want you to pray and ask God to forgive you for not loving your dad like you should. I didn't want to do it, but he was a man of God. I've always been taught to respect the man of God. So I got on my knees in a motel room. The curtain was open. I didn't want anybody to walk by and see me on my knees praying. I did what he told me to do. He told me to ask God to forgive me for not loving my dad like I should. Christians are in bondage to materialism. They got themselves so far in debt, they don't know have time to serve God. They have to work themselves to death just to get by. When Christians are held in the power of ease, people say, you know, I don't have time to serve God. They go out here and buy this and buy that, and they get themselves in a mess. They got more bills than money at the end of the month. They can't make the payments. Christians are held in the power of ease. Visit, teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, serve in the local church. Don't you know I have to make a living? I need to work. You kids ain't got nothing. You don't worry about that. You're still spending off your parents, right? You're living at home, not working at all. There's going to come a time when you're going to have to work and make the money to pay your bills. Church attendance, that's for people when trouble comes. People go to church and they pray when things are bad. We ought to do that when things are good, so that when the bad does come, we have a foundation to stand upon.
Amen.
Praise God, these Jews were freed from their present circumstances because a group appointed their sin and got right with God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Woke somebody up there, you know? Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will heal your land.
Amen.
And will answer your prayer.
Amen.
The present can be a life of spontaneity. What's spontaneity? That's getting it when it happens. It's great to save God because you never know what need God is going to met. A life of creativity. I will make a way in the wilderness. It's exciting to see how God works in our life. Michelle and I have been married 50 years to that woman sitting back there. I can remember when I was in college, I made up my mind I was going to find somebody, date somebody, ask them to marry me, and God never gave me peace about it. I eventually broke up with that girl. Little did I know that God had a girl in Atlanta that he had for me. Mm-hmm. Preacher at that time said, do you love her? I didn't love her. She was a great girl and everything. She lived 150 miles away from the school I went to. I go down on the weekends and work in the bus ministry. I work visiting. I didn't find my wife going out looking for her. I was just faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
He led me to the girl that I was to marry. I worried about and I'm sure others have thought about my call to preach. I worried about my salvation. I've never worried about that woman sitting back there. She was the one God made for me. Now, I say this. We're going to get in a fight tonight. We're throwing stuff at each other. You know, not literally. We don't. We offend one another when we get in a fight. None of you women ever do this, but women sometimes say things. They point out what your faults are, and you don't like to hear about that. I can tell you, if you will wait on the Lord, he will give you the one to marry.
Amen. That's right.
And you'll know that that's the one God wants you to marry. We've been through a lot of things together. We lost it. We had a daughter that was sick for 8 years. And she finally went home to be with the Lord. That wasn't pleasant. I didn't enjoy that. I remember when they came back in the bedroom where she had passed away, and they carried her out, and a couple of guys came over with a body bag, and they said, I said, can I unzip that? I want to say goodbye to her. Let me unzip it. And I said my final words to my daughter. She passed away that morning. We've had the good times. We've had the bad times. But serving the Lord is a life of productivity. I will give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's not usually a place you find rivers in the desert. Waters in the wilderness. Christians face the same problems anyone here does. Financial reverses, health problems. I didn't know health problems until I was 60. I never went to the hospital until I was 60. I got this wrong with me. I got a thing in my chest. What was that called, Arlen?
Defibrillator.
No, what's the thing they put in there?
Watchman.
They put a watchman in there. It's a little device they put in there. In your heart. In fact, I got to go Friday and they got to check it out. They say I want to be in twilight. I better be in twilight when they're going down my throat. I've never had problems until I got 60. They say the golden years, they're not golden. Anybody that says that has never lived very long. They're not golden. They're bad things. Look at the little man. He's 36? 36? You know nothing wrong with you, do you, man? Enjoy. But it's going to end someday. You get 60, 65. Mr. Bill, are you 85, Mr. Bill?
Almost.
You got things wrong with you. You know, the older you get, the worse the body breaks down. I'm in a wheelchair. That is not my plan to be in. You see me get out of the car out there, I just can't hardly walk. Things are breaking down. And the older I get, the worse it's going to get. But I can serve God.
Amen.
The promise of a new thing, the purpose of God's new thing. When God redeems us, it's for a purpose. He's got every part of our life planned out. God's purpose is to satisfy his own people. To give waters in the wilderness, Amen. To give drink to my people. God's greatest delight is to satisfy his people. Meet their needs. Sometimes people say, well, I'm saved, but I'm not satisfied in my Christianity. The only reason you're not satisfied, you're out of the will of God.
That's right.
You got to stay in the will of God, however good or bad that is. I was a pastor for 33 years in this church. God's purpose is to bring glory to himself. That means if I'm well, if I'm sick, I wish you could have known my daughter. Maybe you didn't know my daughter. I don't think you knew her, Betty. Matt, did you know her?
Yes, sir.
She was a treat.
Amen.
She had MS. It messed with her brain. She had the brain of an 8-year-old when she died. She was a child in many ways. When she threw around there 5 minutes, she would always ask you one thing. What was that, darling?
Are you saved?
Are you saved? Amen. And she would ask until you said, you had to satisfy her that you were saved. She couldn't think right. She couldn't work right. She took a class, a correspondence class for Jerry Falwell School. In fact, they knew she wasn't all there. I got a letter from Dr. Wilmington, head of that department of that. We want Pamela to come down here and walk across the stage and get her a diploma. She didn't earn it. She couldn't do it. She's the best she could.
Amen.
When I get to heaven, I hope I get the reward that she gets. It's not how long you live. It's doing God's will while you live.
Amen.
That's what the matter. That's what the purpose is. Not how long you live. It's doing the will of God. What is success? Success is finding God's will and doing it. That's all success is.
Amen.
The prospect of God's new thing. If we're to enter into the promise and purpose of God's new thing in our lives, then we must recognize certain facts. Number one, man can't. I know we live in a day when people are saying, I'm number one, you're number one nothing. A guy makes a touchdown, he goes, I'm number one. Just because you can take a football and run down a field and knock people over and get in the end zone doesn't mean you're number one. Because there's somebody out there bigger than you.
That's right.
I had a guy, I was watching a football game today on a football channel. They had a 388-pound guy. He was blocking with a running back. I ain't going to get through him. Nobody's going to get through that guy. God cares, and he helps men. He'll help you be what you want to be.
Amen.
You're here tonight, and you're a sinner. You've never been saved. You need to come to Christ tonight and let him forgive your sins and heal your soul and give you eternal life so that you can be what God wants you to be. God's got a perfect job. He's got a woman for you, guys. He's got a woman for you. There's one breathing right now. She's sweating on her armpits. She's for you. Girls, God's got a guy right now for you.
Amen.
If you'll be faithful to him and do what he wants you to do and serve him, God will let you run to that person. I ran into my wife. She was 150 miles from me, from my school. I get out on the weekends. She got out of school. She waited for me. I didn't know she thought that. I didn't turn up for her. Till I came along. She waited for me. What if she would have got impatient and took some guy? She'd have been out of the will of God. God's got a will for you. He's got a job for you to do. He's got girls. He's got a guy for you. Guy, he's got a girl. You guys aren't worried about girls now. These guys down here at the end, they don't care about girls. Do you? I'm going to be honest. They don't care about girls. You girls don't care about guys, do you? You don't have any guy you got out your eye on?
Yes.
Why not? You better make sure it's God's guy for you.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. Being married to the right person is the only thing that makes any sense. You're married to the wrong person. I don't care what you have. You don't have what God wants you to have. I've doubted my salvation. I've doubted my call. Other people have doubted my call to preach. But I've never seriously doubted my wife. I think she was God's gift to me. And she thinks the same thing. She's as nuts as I am. In fact, when I asked her to marry me, what would I say, Your Honor?
You said, you were in the living room, you said, I want you, and I said, what do you want me for? I thought you wanted me to get something.
You're a little man.
And he said, I want to marry you.
I said that at Christmas before we got married. I'm glad I could say that. And it was a preacher that helped me see that the girl I was dating, I was engaged to her. I didn't love her. I didn't love her. That's going to mess your life up if you marry somebody you don't love. I've doubted my call to preach. I've doubted this and that, but I've never doubted this, the woman God wanted me. Now, sometimes I'm mean to her. I treat her bad. I yell at her. I don't know if you guys do that. You ever yell at your wife, Matt? Not much.
Am I under oath?
You say things that you don't mean, you get mad, you try to. Mom's telling me I get off this, right? When you're in the will of God, I went to school, I crammed 4 years into five. We went to school together 2 years, didn't even know it. She ran around with a BMO. You know what BMOCs are?
Big man on campus.
Oh, yeah. She ran around with the upper crust. I was in the kitchen cleaning pots. I used to have a job during lunch where I could check the supplies for a bathroom. I loved to go in the girls and say, girls! I did everything. Just be willing to do what God wants you to do. Start obeying the Lord now. And God will bless you and meet your needs. Now, Mom's about half dead, aren't you, Mom? She got arthritis. Mom says, I'm praying hush. Right, Mom? You know, people aren't going to say the same. That chicken, she ain't got nothing wrong with her. She's only, 17? Hot Rod Queen, the greatest girl you've ever seen. That was a rock and roll song back in the 60s. She don't have nothing to worry about. But if she serves the Lord and does what God wants you to do, your life can be satisfying. It can bring you joy and peace. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Won't you ask yourself a question? What does God want me to be when I'm a grown up? Well, don't worry about that. Just do what you're supposed to do now.
Amen.
Obey the Lord now. Even a child, the Bible says in Proverbs, people can know what